Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Good morning, David Harris. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. David, one of the stories that we've been following is Hezbollah, which is a registered, it's a recognized, rather, terrorist organization. They have, basically, they beat ISIS, which is also a terrorist organization. So is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, gosh. I think you need to split the answer into two. The defeat of ISIS is clearly extraordinarily important in terms of the, you know, taking back territory, preventing the evil treatment of women, the imprisoning of children, the using of children as child soldiers, etc., etc., etc. However, and don't forget, just because, and this is a conversation we've had before, just because ISIS looks like it's on the verge of defeat in Syria does not mean that ISIS and its ideology are not going to continue to live on elsewhere. And they already have an entire caliphate on the internet, if you like. That's part one to your question. Part two is, let's look at who it is that is replacing them. It looks as though, despite what we thought all the way through this war, that Assad, President Assad of Syria, will eventually end up controlling pretty much all of the territory that he controlled before all the violence broke out in 2011. Why? Because he has the support of Hezbollah and the support of Iran. Iran is a state that funds and sponsors and arms terrorists, and one of the major recipients of that charity from Iran is Hezbollah, and that is clearly unacceptable.
You know, I actually saw a video that you put out, and I can't remember, or it was audio, it wasn't a video, talking about the different demographics of different factions within the Middle East. Why is it so complicated, David?
Oh my gosh, are we talking about Shiites and Sunnis here?
We're talking about everything, because...
Oh my gosh.
Do you know which audio I'm referring to?
No, I can't remember, but I'll give you a microcosm, because the only way to really understand the Middle East is to look at Lebanon. And it's very important to know that Lebanon is, you know, the home of Shiism in many ways. Historically, ancient times, a lot of what you see today, Iran, emanated from Lebanon. Lebanon has several populations within it. There are Druze, there are Christians, there are Shiites, there are Sunnis. There are even still a handful of Jews in Lebanon, and I believe one restored synagogue. But it sums up what happens in the Middle East. There hasn't been a census in Lebanon for decades. Why? Because there is a very, very delicate agreement of the balance of power between the Christians, the Druze, and the Shiites, or the Muslims, let's put it that way. And the fear is, because the demographics of that country have changed so much in recent decades, a country that was traditionally known as being a Christian center in the Middle East, where the Christians have now clearly become a large but clearly a minority in the country, and the Muslims have taken over, and the Shiites are very, very strong politically and militarily, that has prevented, because there is this agreement about who will control the different parts of Lebanon, whether it's the presidency or the judiciary or the parliament and so on and so forth, as a result, the people there are too scared to carry out a census. And that's just one country where you've got this delicate balance going on. But as I said, it's kind of a microcosm. And one more word in one of my lectures that I like to give at this hour on a Monday morning. Look at what King Abdullah of Jordan described in 2004, which is the idea of the Shiite crescent, the idea that from Iran, through Iraq, through Syria, and on to the Mediterranean coast in Lebanon, that you're getting a Shiite control. Numerically, it's beginning to happen. Militarily, tragically, it's happening, not because, you know, Shiites shouldn't have arms, but because of who the Shiites are that have the arms. Because the Shiites right now means the Ayatollahs in Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon, with the support of people like Assad in the middle. And Iraq has gone. Iraq is in Iran's control. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And Syria is going the same way. And clearly, Lebanon has been that way for several years. So you now have this territorial, this military and ideological band of land that stretches all the way from what used to be Persia to the Mediterranean. And that for the West is very concerning.
Do you think that the borders of the Middle East, if they were redefined, kind of like Europe after the Second World War, do you think that would change anything for the better?
It's too late. I think it's too late. And don't forget that if we're talking about the redefining of borders, thanks to my alma mater, you know, the United Kingdom, and thanks to France, the Middle East is in the mess that it's in today. Because, you know, 100 years ago, we came in at the end of the Second World War, drew up all of those lines, created Iraq, created Syria, Jordan, Israel, and Lebanon, and look at the balagan, to use the Jewish word, look at the mess that there is in all of those countries today. So I don't know that redefining borders is necessarily the solution, because that messed things up, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah. David, that's where we leave it today. Thank you very, very much, and we look forward to speaking to you next week.
And as we always say at this point, hopefully next week we'll have something happy to talk about.
Please God. Thank you so much.